week.
Okay, this week. This week is Parashas Bamidbar. It's very rare that Parashas Bamidbar is not the parasha before Shavuos. Probably 95% of the time, Parashas Bamidbar is the parasha before Shavuos. A lot of the Torah that you find in the Sfarim, the Machshav and the Jush, all relate to connecting Parashas Bamidbar to Matan Torah. Okay, but Parashas Bamidbar in its own right is a very significant parasha, being that it is the beginning of a new Sefer. There are five Sfarim, we all know, Chamish Chumash Torah. The Parashas Bamidbar, to a certain degree, Chumash Bamidbar, to a certain degree, is really the last Chumash of the Torah. Because Chumash Devarim is Mishneh Torah. This is a Chazara. It is a repetition. So that means that Chumash Bamidbar is the Siyum, is the Gemara, it's the Chumash which is Messiahim, the Torah. Okay, before we discuss it, let's just discuss some. Okay, we'll come back to that in one moment. But I want to begin with a very beautiful verse I saw from Baruch Saratskin. And Baruch Saratskin says, why in the beginning of Parashas Bamidbar is HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructing Moshe Rabbeinu to count every single member of Klal Yisrael? So the very first Rashi says, Mitochi Basan, the reason is because of Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael. Mitochi Basan, the fond of Moina is some called Shah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuously counts them. When they left Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counted them. We know that there were 600,000 people, Gevadim Levad Mitaf. Then we find Ushanaflu Be'egel, and after the Chet Egel, and a number of the Klal Yisrael were killed, Hashem counted them again. Minam Leida Hanosadim, Uchashaba. Now here are the key words that Baruch Shiratzkin focuses on of Rashi. Uchashaba Hashros Shchinosai Aleihem. Here, in this counting, is a time when Kadosh Baruch Hu is now coming to be Mashre the Shchina upon them. This is the purpose over here. Kadosh Baruch Hu is now coming to rest the Shchina upon Klal Yisrael. He counted them Be'echad Be'ir. Here, this parsha took place on the first day of Chodesh Iyar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now coming to rest the Shechina among them. Now, before we go into the idea of Baruch Saratz, I just want to point down the Farshim explained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really rested the Shechina at two different points in time. First, the Shechina rested in the Mishkan on the first day of Nisan, when the Mishkan was dedicated, the Shechina was erected. But then, on the first day of Iyar, the Shechina that was resting in the Mishkan overflowed and expanded into the neshamos of each individual member of Klal Yisrael. Everyone knows the famous fart, V'shachanti b'socham. The purpose of building the Mishkan is not that the Shechina should rest in the Mishkan itself. The purpose is that the Shechina should overflow and rest inside of the neshama of each individual member of Klal Yisrael. That was fulfilled. V'shachanti b'socham. You shall build the Mishkan, and the Shechina will rest among you, among the people, was fulfilled here in Parashas Bamidbar. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Rashi says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu counted them after the Mishkan was complete, until this point in time, the Mishkan, the Shechina was resting in the Mishkan, in the Mokim HaMishkan, and now the Shechina went from the Mokim HaMishkan into the hearts and souls of each individual member of Klal Yisrael. Baruch Saratskin says, when you come to make a minyan, when you come to shul, and you want to daven, what's the first thing you do? You make sure there's a minyan. If you have a small group of people, you always are counting. Right, daven minyan, mincha every day, we always barely have a minyan. So we're always counting. Ashiya, esamecha, uvarichas, nechlasech, orein, because in order for there to be a minyan to daven, you have to have the shechina. V'nikdashti, besoch b'nei Yisrael. You first have to count in order to make sure that the shechina is resting in the group so we can proceed and daven. Baruch Saratskin says it's exactly what's happening over here in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar. HaKadosh Baruch over here is coming to bring a Shechina, a higher level of Shechina. Until now, the Shechina is resting among in the Mishkan. Now Hashem wants the Shechina to rest among the Nikdashti Bisoch B'nei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is counting his minion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's minion is not 10 people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's minion is 600,000 people. That's the logic behind this parsha, Parshas Bamidbar. It's something that we actually do every single day, three times a day. It's not halach and shulchan aruch, that before you begin davening, you have to actually count every single person. As long as you have 10 people present, you can begin davening. But subconsciously, that's what we're doing. In order to bring the Shechina, the Nikdashti, B'soch B'nei Yisrael, which is the Mupasik, which from which we learn, that you need to have a minion, and you need to have a minion, the Shechina must be resting before you can daven, you have to count the people. Counting the people expresses a love that every single person is necessary in order to bring the Shechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is going to bring the Shechina to Klal Yisrael. He's counting his minion. And his minion here is 600,000 people. Every single one of these people contribute to bring the Shechina among Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's jump to an idea. Yeah.
What I found amazing is Moshe Rabbeinu went and counted 600,000. What a task. He wasn't...
There's a midrash in his Moshe that was like Ruach HaKodesh. He stood outside the tent and it was right away presented in his mind how many people are in this bias.
So counting 600,000 people.
It's a large number, obviously.
It's unusual, but...
Yeah. Okay, that's a very good question. Those are machines. What about a human being? Okay, I want to just touch upon a short idea. A question. I do not have an answer to the question. It always bothered me, this question, and I'll just present you what I have come aware of. End of the parasha ends in a very strange place. The end of the parasha concludes with V'lo yavohu liros kivala es hakodesh v'mesu. The parasha describes the order, the procedure that should be done when Klal Yisrael travel from one location to another location. Everything is taken apart and they're put in special coverings, whether it's tcheles or tachash. Each kli is done in its own, is taken apart and package in its own way, and the pasuk makes it very clear that when you take down the aron, no one should look at the aron when it's being taken apart, because if you look and you'll gaze at the shechina that's resting upon the aron, chas v'shalom, a person can be chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. V'lo, everyone, no one's allowed. No one is allowed to look. What? No, they're not allowed to look. That's what it says. Only people that are absolutely necessary. But anyone that is not essential for the procedure of taking it apart and packaging up the aron is not allowed to gaze at the Shechina. And the pasuk warns us very severely, V'lo yavohu liros kivala. You should not come to look kivala when it is taken apart, when it is deposited, when different translations of the word kivala, when it's taken apart, es hakodesh. And if you will violate this rule, v'mesu, these people will be put to death. What is the obvious question? We have a general rule that you're not allowed to be mafsik b'dovara. You're not allowed to conclude any gabbai. If you were a gabbai and this was not the end of the parsha and you were given the task to make hosophis, there are books today that have exactly all the different possible hosophis that you can make. No one in their right mind will conclude valia with the word v'mesu. It's a dovara. What can their worst thing, can there be more than death? How then can this parasha conclude with a dovara? So I don't have a good answer. I've not really ever seen a good answer. The only thing, there are two things which are very interesting that I've come across this year. Number one, what some want to suggest, this is a shocking thing to say, that it's a mistake. We have a tradition, there's a Mesoira, Ezra broke up the parashios, and Bamidbar begins as a parasha Bamidbar, a parasha Snoso, and a parasha Bahaloischa. That's all Ezra taught the Mesorah. We were supposed to stop Shvi. Shvi begins, Vaidaber Hashem el Moshe v'yalar leimah Noso, Esrosh b'nei Kehos, mitoch b'nei Levi. Count, B'nei Kos, Mitoch B'nei Lumish Chosam L'Beis Avosam. Count the Levim separately. That's the last Aliyah parsha of the parsha. So some want to suggest that really it was meant to be that part of Nosan. In fact, many about Bali Kriya have mistakes that happen when you show the person the wrong place in the Sefer Torah. It's very common to show the person the wrong place for Nosan because there are two Nosos. So some want to suggest that it really was meant to be that the Shvi was really meant to be the beginning of next week's parsha. Somehow, some way, things got. It makes sense. Exactly. Right. Exactly. It makes much more logical sense that the next three. Right. So this is.
Don't have all the different tire lights.
So it's an amazing suggestion to say that we're mistaken. The whole Klal Yisrael is doing something which is a mistake that touches upon tradition, Mesorah. How could it be that the whole Klal Yisrael is doing something which is a mistake? On the other hand, how could it possibly be that we conclude with the word Vamesu, which is a Dovara? And as you said, it breaks the thinking. The psukim largely would be make more sense if it would not be broken up in this fashion. They would flow from the countings of the different tribes of Sheva Levi. Okay, there's another answer. The whole Klal Yisrael make a mistake. Okay, okay, but ultimately the mistake is corrected. To say that for generations, for a thousand years, we were doing the wrong thing, that's a very big chiddush. No, it touches upon the Aleppo Codex. Rav Meir was discussing with me the Aleppo Codex. So the Aleppo Codex says the psuchos and stumos in the Sifrei Nevi'im and Ksuvim is not the way it is done. We have from tradition. If you go to a shul and they have klaf, they learn the Haftorah. They learn the Haftorah from klaf. So the Sifrei for the last 1,000 years have been writing the Nevi'im in a certain way, and with regard to psuchos and stumos. Okay, about 50 years ago, when it became available, the Aleppo Codex, which we assume is the most authentic version of Tanakh, it was discovered that the way the Nevi'im are written in on the cloth is not at all the way it's written in the Aleppo Codex. I'll give you just one major example. Shiras David, the Haftorah for Shvi Yishol Pesach. In the Aleppo Codex, Shiras David is written like Parshas Hazinu, on two columns. Whereas, traditionally, it's written like Oz Yoshir, Ariach Al Gabe Leveina. So about 50 years ago, there was a major debate among the Gedolei Yisrael if the Sofrim should change and should now start writing like the Aleppo Codex. I'm not mistaken, if Chaim Kinievsky says that we're making a mistake, that for the last 1,000 years, pretty much, what we've been doing is wrong. We have a very weak Mesorah for the way things should be written, the Vim should be written, and all Sofrim today should now take on the style of the way it appears to the Bukhaz. It's a tremendous chiddush to say such a thing, to say that we're making a mistake, and therefore we should change. On the other hand, there's a collection of Gedolei Yisrael, I think even Rav, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Yashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, I think they disagreed, and they said, no, it can't be that Klal Yisrael is continuing to make a mistake. Yeah.
In Aleppo, for hundreds of years, they knew that their Nusach of Sefer Torah was different from the Aleppo Codex. They knew that their Sefer Torah did not match
The Aleppo Codex. How can you continue doing what you're doing?
Obviously there is a Messiah.
Yeah.
And what they're trying to do is to get away from Falchus. They're trying to get the maximum Messiah into the Aleppo. But if you have a Messiah already,
you can't.
That becomes
the halacha. Right. So it's a very interesting concept to say that something we've been doing for so many years is wrong. This issue also is something, you know, we talk about the Nevi'im Klaf. Not everyone is involved in these matters. But when it comes to letting the Parsha and you end off, it's a shocking thing to say. So the question is an extremely difficult question. Vamesu is a Dovah Ra, violates the most fundamental rule of ending off an Alib. On the other hand, and how do we deal with, there's possibly, it makes sense, that the parasha really should have ended with Shvi. Okay, that's another answer I saw, came across, a very interesting idea, that in the Torah you never find the word, you don't find Misas Bezdin B'loshon Rabin. Every time we find the Bezdin has to decide a person's Chayiv Misa, even Misa, it's always judged on an individual level. All the times when the Torah describes a person's put to death for Misas Bezdin, it's always Vomesa, you never have Bezdin issuing a verdict of Misa wholesale for a group. No such thing. Because Bezdin never has a right to pass Kandin Nefoshos for a group. Bezdin always has to pass Kandin Nefoshos for Yechidim. That's a very... However, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of judgment is beyond our understanding. This touches upon Eof. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he judges, can take a group, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can decree upon a group that they deserve to die. Fascinating idea.
What about Eir HaNidachas?
Eir HaNidachas, each person has to be judged individually. Does it say the word B'loshon Rav? You have to look at the pasuk. I don't think so. I have to look at B'loshon Rav. But when Bezdin in the laws of Sanhedrin, is even by Irani Dachas, Bezdin does not judge an entire city. They judge each individual one at a time. That's what appears. That's what appears. In the Torah, you have to study if it's really true. The Torah never says that a person, the Bezdin, has a right wholesale to decide upon a group of people. Chai Nisa. Nisa is a serious matter for Bezdin. Every person has to be judged individually. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki Loi Machshav Asechem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has different machshavos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can judge wholesale. Therefore, I heard this suggestion. It's a very interesting idea. I don't think it really answers the question. The reason why the Parsha Knen Vomesu is because over here it's for a rabbin. If a tzibur accidentally does the wrong thing, they look at the Aron when it is in a state of being uncovered, they gaze at the Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge the group. Tzoras Rabim Chatzi Nechama. Whenever a tzibur suffers together, it's obviously a very harsh thing. That's a davar ra. But it's not a complete davar ra, because you're together with someone else. We all familiar with this concept. Tzoras Rabim Chatzi Nechama. When we have a rule that you're not allowed to be Messiah B'davar Ra, it means something which is completely Ra. If an individual dies, an individual suffers, he's all alone, that is Ra. There's no Nechama. But when a person has other people in his, say, is aware that he is in an environment that other people have the same problem, and each one can be Mechazek the other, that is not called a complete davara, and that's why it's not a total violation of ending off the davara. It doesn't really answer the question, but the idea that it brings up is an interesting idea of a difference between the Bezdin Shel Mala and the Bezdin Shel Mata.
Okay. Prohibition of looking at it.
Yes.
On Yechidim, on every Yachid.
That's on every yachid. But over here, the pasuk says, let's say we have 10 individuals who are looking at the shechina shelo kedin. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will judge them as a group, even though each one has a different machshava. How could that possibly be? Hakadosh Baruch Hu will judge 10 people when each person did it for a different reason and a different degree of pleasure, a different reasoning for doing. The answer is Hakadosh Baruch Hu's form of judgment, his method of judgment, is not like the method of judgment of this world. That's exactly the point. V'meisu b'loshen rabim. Don't Hakadosh Baruch Hu has a different set of rules. You can't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a group. When once you're a part of a group already, that's a different category. Okay, it's interesting. I just want to throw it out to think about. Let's go to another idea. We have a very popular medrash in the beginning of Chumash, Bamidbar. I'll read you the medrash. The medrash over here, I found it here in the Rosh. The Rosh, actually, the back of the Makros Gedolos in the Perish Rosh. He quotes the medrash. Begimul devarim nitna hatorah liYisrael. Be'esh, with fire, Uva Mayim Uva Midbar. Three things. We find the Torah given with three different elements. The Eish, where do we find fire associated with the giving of the Torah? The Chsiv Asher Yered Olof Hashem Bo Eish. Pasuk in Shemos, Perik Yutes, Pasuk Yitches. Uva Mayim, the Chsiv it says, Bitseischa Misseir, Bitsadcha Misadeh Edoim, Eretz Roasha, the earth quaked. Gam Shamayim Notfu Moyim. The heavens dripped with water. At the time of Matan Torah, the Pasuk Yishayim and Shoftim, Pasuk Shoftim, in Shiras Devorah, Shoftim Shiras Devorah, when she describes the Yitzias Mitzrayim and describes the giving of the Torah, she alludes to the giving of the Torah, she mentions that the heavens dripped with water at the time of Matan Torah. Where's the third word, the third element, Midbar Sinai? That's this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha says, our Pasuk, that Kadosh Baruch Hu Midbar Sinai Ba'ohel Moed, Hashem spoke to Moshe in the Midbar, Midbar Sinai Ba'ohel Moed, Hashem gave the Torah in the Midbar. What is the significance of these three things? So the Medrash says, these three things, Lomulcha Mad Gimel Dvarim Halalu Hefker, Af Divrei Torah Hefker. Just like fire and water and the desert are three concepts which represent Hefker, it's available for everyone. Anyone can light a match. Anyone can produce fire. You don't have to have a license. You don't have to pay money to produce fire. Anyone can make fire. Anyone, water is available in the world for free. The Midbar is a place that it's not, or at least it used to be, and the Midbar is a place, also the Midbar is also not for free. It's also, everything is occupied by some country, but it used to be the Midbar was a makom in the world that it was Hefker. So too, everyone should be aware that there's no one holding you back from learning according acquiring Torah. To receive the Torah, it's there for the taking. There's no impediment. This is what it says in the Medrash. I saw a beautiful idea from Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Meir Shapiro takes these three things and he says, he takes note that there were three. What is the giving of the Torah all about? What is the first dibur in Matan Torah? This was coming up soon, Shavuos. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoticecha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. The beginning of Matan Torah is the mitzvah of Emunah. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem, your God. The foundation of everything of Yadus is Emuna, faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In our history, we find three moments where Klal Yisrael expressed their faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first was Avraham Avinu, the founder of Klal Yisrael. Avraham Avinu was thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh, an Ur Kasdim, by Nimrod. Nimrod said, who are you going to bow down? Are you going to bow down to my idol, or are you going to believe in your God? Avraham said, I believe in my God. I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm willing to give up my life. And Avraham Avinu allowed himself to be thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh. The next time we find in our history where there was an expression of faith was Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, they came to the Yam, they were about to be overtaken by the Egyptians. Moshe gets up to Davin. Vayitzak Moshe Hashem. Hashem says to Moshe, Matitzak Eli, Daber El Bnei Yisrael V'Yisohu. Tell them to go into the Yam. And Rashi there says, Kedai Hu Hemuna Shemantem Bi. It's Kedai, the faith that they have expressed, that they believed in me. Vayamein Ha'am. I should split for them the Yam. Let them go into the Yam. They should jump into the water, and I'll split the Yam in reward for the Emunah that Klal Yisrael had in me at the time of when you came to them and told to them that Pokot Pokadati Vayame Ra'am, and now it's going to be expressed here when they jump into the water. The third expression of faith was the Midbar. Lech teich acharai ba midbar bi eretz lezerua. Klal Yisrael, they followed after the Anani HaKavod into the desert for 40 years. Bi eretz lezerua, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take us into Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Meir Shapiro says, Torah requires emunah. And that's the first, that's the aleph base of Matan Torah. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. In our makeup, we have three different kufas of emunah. Emunah, our time of Avram Avinu, Kivshan Ho'esh, Vayamein Ha'am, which led to Kriyas Yamsuf Mayim, and the third of the Midbar, Lech Techareba Midbar. I just want to add a small little idea to this idea. What is the significance of these three forms of Emunah? Every day, some people say every single day the Animams, and one of the Animam and Bemunah Shleba, Shabbos Yisrael Shmo, we always mention that we have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He is the Creator. Hoya Hove V'yeh, the past, the present, and the future. It's interesting to take note that the thrust of these three different elements of Emunah, of the Esh, the Mayim, and the Midbar, represent Hoya Hove V'yeh. Avraham Avinu, when he was debating with Nimrod, the main focus of debate was, is there a creator? It was the past. Did this world come into existence by itself, or does this world come into existence through a creator? The thrust, Avraham Avinu, was this before the time when Hashem told Avraham Avinu, you're going to have children, there's going to be an Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be a Klal Yisrael. This was just a debate, is there a creator? Avraham Avinu gets credit for looking at the Bria and recognizing that as someone created the world. The focus of Emunah of Avraham Avinu at that point in time of Esh was the past. When Moshe Rabbeinu came to Klal Yisrael and said that Pokot Pokadati, and they were suffering from the Egyptians, they wanted to free themselves from the Egyptians, it was a question of, do you have Emunah now? Of the present. Just go into the Yam, you'll be okay. The focus is Emunah in the present. Was the future. I'm going to take you to Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to take you in a roundabout way through the desert. I'm going to bring you into Eretz Yisrael, who is an Emunah in the future. The three fundamental, the foundation of faith, the Sechut HaMashulash, is Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hoya Hove V'yeh. Hashem was there in the past. He created the world. He put everything in its place. He is here presently, and He will be with us in the future. This is the how we take the mitzvah Emunah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We break it down into its parts, and it's captured in what Rav Meir Shapiro says, in what it says here in this beautiful medrash of Eish, Mayim, and Midbar. Eish is Avraham, the past. Mayim is the present. Midbar is the future. Kirshon Eish, Kriyas Yamsuf, Lech Techa Chalei Bemidbar, Teret Yisrael. Yes.
Could you, I missed something earlier. Right. Can you go back and explain again the time of Torah and the Emunah? I understand all the examples you gave of the Torah itself.
The first dibor is a mitzvah of emunah. What is the essence of the first mitzvah? The first dibor of the Aseres HaDibros. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That says it all. I am your God. You have to believe that I am your God. The starting point of Matan Torah was the mitzvah of emunah b'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, that's a given. That's fundamentals of Judaism.
About the Torah itself as an object.
Well, the Torah was given with the words. The Torah that was the entire Torah is captured within the Aseres HaDibros. That we understand. Hashem gave us the Torah by giving us the Aseres HaDibros. And what is the beginning of the Aseres HaDibros? The words Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which means the foundation of the giving of the Torah is an emunah that there is a creator, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And who expressed this emunah? Avram expressed it, Klal Yisrael expressed it twice. B'shas Kriyas Yamsuf, which really was a culmination of Pokot Pokaditi, as the Gemara says, and Lech Tech Achalai B'midbar, our emunah that Hashem will bring us to Eretz Yisrael, which in a larger picture represents Mashiach and achieving the purpose of this world. Okay, let's go to another idea. We discussed this week the Sefer HaZohar, and we also mentioned that one of the early works of Kabbalah is the Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah was written by, tradition has it, was composed by Avraham Avinu. It's quoted in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes Sefer Yetzirah, different Amoraim. They would be Oisik and Sefer Yetzirah, and they would create golems. They would create different things. There's a very beautiful expression that is quoted by many Mefarshim in the beginning of Sefer Yetzirah. And it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu, there are three words. Let me just. Sofer, Sefer, and Sipur. The major, I don't have the exact words of the Sefer Yetzirah, but it says something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He created the world with the concept of Sofer, Sefer, and Sipur. That's what it says. Everything in Sefer, any Kabbalah Sefer, obviously, is very mystical, and we don't understand what it means. But this is what it says. And it appears this is the very first things that it says in Sefer Yetzirah. Okay, one more time. Hashem created the world with the concepts of Sofer, Sefer, and Sipur. I have a Sefer, it's called Vayomer Eliyahu. I forgot the name of the Mechaber. He's a Svardi. I think he's a Breslova and a Svardi. He's a Rav in Eretz Yisrael. Put out a very thick Sefer of all of the drashas he's given over the years. And he has this very beautiful idea to take this Chazal and plug it into Chumash Bereishis. We mentioned before that Chumash Bereishis, to a certain degree, is the seum of the Torah. The Chumash Dvar Mishnah Torah is a Chazara. When we begin Chumash Bamidbar today, this Shabbos, we are beginning, we're reaching the climax. We're reaching the end of the Torah. Bereishis, we have Shemos, Vayikra, and now we're coming to put everything together to bring all the pieces together in Chumash Bamidbar. Because Chumash Dvar will be a Chazara, a Mishnah Torah. What is Chumash Bamidbar? The truth is, Chazal tell us it's really three Sfarim. Chavtza Amudei HaShiva, a famous Chazal, that there are really three Sfarim in Chumash Bamidbar because of the upside down nuns. The Pasuk Vayihi bin So, the two Pasuk Vayihi bin So, Aron, Vayom Shakum HaShem, Yifuz HaVecha, Vinuchu Yomar, those two Pasukim which have 85 letters, is a Sefer Bifnei Atzma. It's considered in Halakha to be a separate Sefer, and that's why it's separated with upside down nuns in the front in the beginning. That means everything that appears in the beginning of Zuntai, everything that appears in the beginning of Bamidbar until Vayihi bin So is one Sefer. Vayihi bin So is a second Sefer, the Aron. And then after the Vayihi bin So Aron, we have the story of the Meraglim, we have the story of the Masos, we have the story of Koirach, all of the stories, Balak, Bilam, all of the stories, all of the events that appear from the end of Vayihi bin So until the end of Chumash Bamidbar is a third Sefer. So this Sefer of Yom Eliyo explains that these three concepts are hinted to in the three Sefarim of Chumash Bamidbar. The beginning of Chumash Bamidbar is the Sofer. What is Sofer? Obviously it's a play on the words. Sofer, Sefer, and Sipur all have the same Shoresh, all have the same root. Sofer means to count, or means a scribe. In Chazal, a Sofer means a Talmud Chacham, a scribe, but it means to count. Sefer means a book. Right, a book. And Sipur means a story. The beginning of Chumash Bamidbar until we reach the Pasuk Vayihi bin So Aron in Parshas Bahaloscha is primarily about counting Klal Yisrael, the entire Chumash, Parsha of Bamidbar, and a good part of Parshas Noso is all about counting. It's counting all, counting in many different ways. The Degolim, the Levim, Klal Yisrael, it's all about counting the number of Klal Yisrael. That is rooted in the word Sofer. Who is counting? Moshe is counting. Hashem is giving us instruction. Hashem is giving instructions to count. Then comes the middle Parsha, the Parsha of Vayihi Binisoa Ha'aron. The Aron is traveling. The Aron. Uvenucha, when the Aron travels, when the Aron rests, what is the Aron? In the Aron is the Sefer, is the Torah, the Luchos, is the Sefer that's also found inside the Aron, is the book. And then after the Aron, after we finish the middle parsha, we come to the end of Chumash Bamidbar, all of the stories of Bilam and Balak, the story of Korach, the Masos, there's the Meraglim, there is Sipur, there are stories. There's a narrative. This is basically what he says. Sofer, Sefer, Sipur. Until Vayihi Ben Soa, Sofer, the concept of counting. Then comes Vayihi Ben Soa, the concept of Sefer. And then comes the concept of the Sipur, the stories. But if you take that idea, you just play with it a little bit more, I think there's something a lot deeper in these words. The beginning of Chumash Bamidbar is about L'havdil elef alfei avdolos. If you want to have a play or a movie, you need a script, right? You need a good script, and you need good actors, right? You have to have a good director, a good cast. You have to have a good cast. If you don't have a good cast, you can take the best script, the best story, and you'll butcher it if you don't have the right. You don't have I remember reading an article that was a famous movie. I don't even know what the movie was, and they filmed the majority of the movie was already filmed, and the director said that the main actor is just not the right person for the part, and they spent an astronomical amount of money to redo the inside, like I think $5 million, to refilm the chunk of the movie with a new actor because he felt that the actor is not the right actor. You have to have the right cast for the right story. When you combine the right cast with a phenomenal story, what do you get? A blockbuster?
An Oscar.
An Oscar, okay. You get a Sipur. You get a Sipur. If you had that. Now, this is really Chumash Bamidbar. Chumash Bamidbar is the culmination of the other three Sfar. Until Chumash Bamidbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating the Chomer, the matter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a Klal Yisrael, creates a world. There's Matan Torah, and there's Klal Yisrael. But Chumash Bamidbar puts everything together. Chumash Bamidbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now we're ready. We have everything is ready to go. In the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, Sofer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts. Who is he counting? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is counting Klal Yisrael. They are my cast. These are my people. This is the cast. We've eliminated all the psoilas. There was many sessions, many tryouts, many rejections. Many people applied for this role, but they were rejected. Now it comes to Chumash Bamidbar, Sofer. The first third of Chumash Bamidbar, we're going to officially announce this is our my cast. And what's the story? What's the script? Sefer, it's the Torah. The Torah that was created how many generations before the world was created? Tough, whatever the word was, 976 generations before the world, 74. 974 generations. That's the ultimate script. That's the ultimate script, the Sefer, by Hebron, Soharon, Vayomer Moshe. And then, what do? At the end of Chumash Bamidbar, we take the cast, Klal Yisrael, and we take the script, and we put them together, and we have the story of Klal Yisrael. And the Ma'is of Korach, and the Ma'is of the Meraglim, and the Masos, the 42 Masos represents the history of Klal Yisrael. The 42 Masos represent Klal Yisrael traveling through the generations. Everyone says that. Not just they travel from place to place. Each one of the Masos, Ma'is of Sim Lubanim, the end of Chumash Bamidbar is the story. story of Klal Yisrael. It's the story of the world. There's no, there's never been such a story, and there never will be such a story. This is the story. But the story is composed through a combination of the Sefer and the Sefer. It's a beautiful idea. This is going to summarize what we have here. We have a Sefer Yetzirah, a mystical book, that tells us the secret to the foundation of the world is Sofer Sefer Sipur. Rabbi, I've got his name, the Sefer Vayomer Leo says, that whole idea, guess what? It's hidden in Chumash Bamidbar. What's the depth of what he's saying? Chumash Bamidbar is the first part of Bamidbar is the cast, Klal Yisrael. The middle part is the script, is the Torah HaKadosha. And when Klal Yisrael embraces the Torah, we have the story of Klal Yisrael. And the story of Klal Yisrael is encapsulated in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, of our difficulties, our struggles, our travels through history with the Masos, and the desire to come to Eretz Yisrael with the Miraglim, and all of the tzaros that we have in Eretz Yisrael, trying to properly live in the land that way, appreciate the land the way we should, and our difficulties with dealing with our leaders, Moshe and the Miraglim. Klal Yisrael, it's a story. There's a sipur. There's quite a story to tell. But you got to have the right cast. You got to have the right script. Together, it's an incredible combination.
Is that why the first Rashi and Bereishis?
Yeah.
They could have possibly started the Torah way beyond, but they had to put it in for a particular reason.
Okay, there are many layers of interpretation. That's another thing. You're saying very good, but that's a different mahalach. I just want to touch upon, isolate one prat, one out of many different ideas.
Coming out with a new movie.
Exodus. Yeah.
The whole story.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Christian Bale instead of Charlton.
Yeah.
Bale is going to play Moses. Comparing him.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
Stay tuned.
Okay, let's go to another idea. Another quick idea. There's a Gemara. Okay, let's. There is a Gemara, a Yerushalmi, a very interesting Yerushalmi. Now everyone knows Yerushalmi. This week we have the Golem. We have all of the flags. We have the arrangement of Klal Yisrael, how they were positioned around the Oron. All the Torah tells us is the way Klal Yisrael encamped, Yachanu. The way they encamped, they were the center was the Oron, was the Mishkan, and the Sheva Levi. And then there were four different groups. Each one of the four different groups was comprised of three Shvatim. And the Torah goes to the Parsha, describes in very great detail exactly how they were arranged. Each of these four groups had a leader, and that's how they encamped. The question is, how did they travel? Fine. The Torah is very, very specific in the way. If you would go from an aerial view, you would see how they would position that dress. But when they traveled, what formation did they take? It does not say this anywhere in the Torah. It's a machlokis amaroyim in Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi appears Perek Dalid. Which Gemara is it? I don't know the Gemara. Which Gemara it is? I see. I'm really bad. Okay, I only have the Perek Dal Halach Alf, but which Masechta? Okay, I forgot to write down which Masechta. I'm sorry, but somewhere in the Yerushalmi there's a Machlokes. One opinion says they traveled. One Amora they traveled in the Tzura in the form of a teva, a box, which simply, according to the Mefarshim there, means they traveled the same way they rested. When they rested, they were in formation, they just moved. Everyone moved in that same exact formation, nothing changed. The other opinion says, no, they travel like a koira, like a beam. Each one bases their opinion upon a pasuk. The one, the opinion that says they traveled like a teva, like a box, it says in the pasuk, kasher yachanu, kain yiso. It's a fair pasuk. Just as they encamped, that's how they traveled. The second opinion that says they travel like a koira, like a beam, which means
linear,
means it means in order, one shevet at a time, it says, ma'aseif l'chol ha, that dawn was the ma'aseif l'chol ha-machnos. That only makes sense if he's at the end. If they traveled in order, and there was one shevet at the very end, he's ma'aseif l'chol ha-machnos. Okay, interesting Gemara. Machloik is Amaroyim. But the Mefarshim, they are very disturbed. Why do these two Amaroyim choose these funny words to describe the formation? A teva, a box, verse, a kora. There are probably many words you can use to describe the way they track. Kasha yachnu ken yisahu. They were four camps with the Aron in the center. We can figure out some other way to describe that formation? Why did they use the word a teva? And why did the other opinion use the word a korah, a beam? It's not the typical word you would use to describe a line in order. So I want to suggest a drush. The masos, all the mafarshim tell us the masos are all maisa remez, maisa avos. Similar bottom. The 42 masos represent the history of Klal Yisrael in time. Klal Yisrael throughout the ages has traveled from one nation to another nation. Golis, they were expelled from one country to come to another country, then they were expelled from that country. Things were constantly happening throughout history until we come to our final destination. We return once again to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. But throughout history, we're traveling. If we look back at history, we've always found that there was a disagreement among the leaders in Klal Yisrael. Sometimes it was by choice, sometimes it was not by choice. How should we live among the Goyim in Galus? Should we live the ghetto life, a sheltered life, completely disassociate ourselves from our surroundings? Or should we embrace the world and serve as an Or La'amim, and take what the world has to offer? Chochma bo'amin tamin. Take what the world has to offer and elevate it, use it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each one has its smilos and chesronos. Right? There's something to be said about a ghetto life. You're sheltered from the influences of the goyim, but there's a chesaron, obviously, that you're not taking advantage of what the world has to offer to serve Hashem in the most beautiful way. On the other hand, if we're exposed too much to the society, there's a very, very great danger of assimilation. We all know too well how the hashpa of the goyim affects us. It's very hard to properly protect yourself. There has to be a balance, and sometimes in history there was no choice. We were forced into a ghetto life. And sometimes we were forced, we were allowed, or we got swept away in going to the other extreme. There always has to be a balance, and all what's good for one person is not necessarily good for another person. L'cha'oira, these two ways of living, this philosophy of how to live among the Goyim and Golos, is rooted in this Yerushalmi. What is a teva? A teva, besides the fact that it's a box, it's square, it represents the formation, a teva is a shelter. When there was a marble, where did Noach, where did Noach take all the animals? Into the teva. It was a completely self-sufficient, sheltered environment. The world, there's a marble out there in the world, there's a churban out there in the world, we're self-contained, we're sheltered from the influences of society. What is a koira? Well, in Chazal, when you want to use the lexicon of Chazal, the word koira, when you ever learn Masech to Ervin, what is the word koira? It's a hecker. It's out there to be seen. If you have a mavui, has only three walls, and you want to be allowed to carry in the mavui, there's a concern. You may inadvertently carry into the Rishus Sarabim. How does one protect yourself to make sure you don't carry into the Rishus Sarabim? What do? You put up a koira. What's the koira there for on top of the mavui? It's a hecker. It's something which is public. It stands out in the public. Everyone sees it. Everyone knows, don't go past the koira. It represents the term. It's a concept in halacha, in Chazal, which represents be out there. Show yourself. Expose yourself to the world. When Klal Yisrael traveled in the Midbar, the Masos, Maisa Avos Simul Abanim, they're traveling through time. They're traveling in Golos, from one place to another place. What's the proper approach when you deal with your environment, your surroundings? One Amara says, when you travel in Golos, go into a teva. Shelter yourself. Protect yourself from the influence of society. The other Amara says, no. It's too dangerous. Koira. That's the opposite. Don't shelter yourself. That's not a mahalach. It's claustrophobic to live a ghetto life. You have to serve as an Or La'amim. People have to learn from Klal. Yisrael Salanter was a very big fan to a certain degree of going out in the public. Yisrael Salanter very much wanted to translate Talmud into different languages. But the world should see the Torah, the beauty of Torah. You have to go out into the public. People should learn from Klal Yisrael. It has to be a hicker like the Korah. the two different approaches of dealing with a secular environment are rooted mamish in this Maimer Chazal in the Yerushalmi, based upon what we learn in this week's parsha. So let's go to another idea. Another idea. We have here the parsha of a Samu, but this is a very good var, I'm telling you now, for a dinner, a fundraising dinner, for a yeshiva dinner. Anyone here in the yeshiva dinner business? Okay, it says in this week's parasha, with regard to the masos, the beginning of the masos, when it comes to the Aron, it says, the samu badof, when you prepare to travel with the Aron, make sure you samu, put the badim into the Aron. The samu badof. It's towards the end of the parasha. You'll find it in the parasha, you'll look over the parasha later on, you'll find the parasha when you begin to travel with the Aron, and you shall... Let's see if I can quickly... Which pasuk?
It says about the Mishpah.
No, it says about the Aron also. Look by the Aron. Look by the Aron. It says by the Aron that they're going to travel. They will take... Yal Shulchan. Let's see. Where's the Aron Parsha? Olayim Begit Tarlat Lachu Begit Tcheles. Lachu Es Klei Hashares. Okay, when they travel with the Aron, it says... Here it is. V'nostu alav kisui or tachash. Ufarsu abidikalukheves. V'samu badav. It's pasuk vav. Perek dalid pasuk vav. Okay, we are describing the Aron. The Aron. V'nostu alav kisui or tachash. Ufarsu veged kliel techeles milamolu. V'samu badav. What does that mean literally? You shall insert the badim into the Aron. What's the obvious difficulty? Lo yusudu mimenu. The badim of the Aron were never removed from the Aron. What is going on? This is a very difficult question. Okay, this is real, so what is Taisvis? We once discussed, I'm not going to tell you that, Dara. We once discussed Taisvis in Masechta, what Masechta, Psochim, Ayin Dalid? I forgot, Masechta Yoma? I forgot, maybe it's Masechta... Masechta Yoma. Yoma daf ayin dalid Amid Bey is a very long taisis, and taisis there in the middle, it's on Aleph, in the middle of taisis there is a shocking chiddush that there were two sets of badim. We once discussed, I told you then, the var that I told you is one was permanent and one was temporary. So the one that was the loyal sumer, and I told you a drush a long time ago, why were there two badim? In the Aron were the shivrei luchos. So the one that was permanent was for the shivrei luchos. The one that you put in was for the second set of luchos. Each set of badim corresponded to a different set of badim. Yuma ayin beis. Okay, so we're not going to go there. We're not going to explain that. That's one idea. We're not going to go there now. I want to tell you another idea. I saw this idea in the Penimim. You know the Penimim they give out in the shuls. So every year he publishes a book. This is from Cleveland. I forgot the name of the principal. You know the principal in Cleveland. He publishes a book collection. What? No, not Neustadt, someone else. He publishes a book every year, so this is, already he's probably up to, what is he up to, 18 already, 19?
Yeah.
So he has already, going already 18, 19 years, every year he puts out another book, which year? So I saw this in book year 5. Okay, so it's hard to find the old copy, so I have here book 5, he says there, a beautiful Vart. He says, this writer heard the following Vart. Doesn't tell me the source. He almost everything he has there is a source. But this, he says, probably his own, because it doesn't say heard. I assume he's the one. Mechaber is the one who said this. But he says, why are there two sets of badim? First of all, when they put in the second set of badim, which it says v'samu badav, it says here very clearly in the pasuk, you'll put the badim into the aron, and you'll carry the aron with those badim. The other badim that are permanently attached, again, we're working with the yesod from Tosfos, there are two sets of badim. Those badim, no one carries those badim. So he goes on to say that every time they would carry the aron, if you look at the aron being carried, you would see there are two sets of badim. One set of badim are being used to carry the aron, and the other set of badim, no one's carrying. They're just there. No one's touching them. That set represents someone anonymous. Every time the Aron is carried, the Aron is supported. Make believe you had a yeshiva dinner. Every time the Aron is carried, someone is supporting the Torah. There are always people who are in the public view. are out there. This person, he carries the Torah. There are people who carry the Torah financially. There are people who carry the Torah spiritually. The Talmidei Chabad who sing and learn the Rosh Yeshivas, and they're out in the open. They carry the Torah on their shoulders. They're out in the public. But for every person that's carrying the Torah in public, there's always Zelu Umazeh. Someone who's anonymous, someone that's behind the scenes, that's invisible. And if not for that person, the Aron could not be carried. There are two sets of Badim. There's a Badim that is visible, that's being carried. There's a Badim which you don't, there's always, whether it's a Yisachar Zavulun relationship, or whether it's even, forget about Yisachar Zavulun, every person can't do it on his own. There's always a support. In Ruchnius and Gashmius, there's always, as you have to develop this, obviously you have to develop this on your own, but it's a beautiful idea. There's always going to be an anonymous correspondent to every single person that's out there in the open carrying the Torah. It goes good. What?
The invisible people are the permanent.
What? So this goes on. Let's take a step further. Which one of the one that's visible are the temporary?
Right.
The people
ones are
permanent. Exactly the point. The people who are anonymous, they're permanent. The people who are out in the open.
Their checks don't matter.
They're there for the show. When they're seen, they're there. But when they're not seen, the badim disappear. The ones that are anonymous are even greater than the ones who are exposed to the rabbim. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, I don't know where the source is. I'm giving you homework to find the source for this. I still came across this in a sefer very quickly. I was in a rush, and I, had I known I was going to say this, I would have taken the sefer with me. I would have found the source. But there's a Ramban. Ramban says something fascinating. Aaron HaKohen was not counted. If you carefully study the parasha, again, I don't know the source. Somewhere in the sixth parasha, there's a Ramban in the sixth parasha supposedly that says this. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I can't believe I'm wrong because this sefer never missed the mark. Moshe, it seems Ramban says was counted. Moshe was counted. Hashem told Moshe count Klal Yisrael. So Hashem counted Klal Yisrael, and then Moshe was instructed that I want you to count Sheva Levi separately. If you medayik in the pasuk, Moshe counted himself, his family. But Aaron was not counted. Aaron was the only person in the entire Klal Yisrael that was not counted. Hafleh
Hafela. That's why there's a dots on his name.
That's a dots on his name? It's a chazal? That's what it says, the dots on the name of Aaron, because Aaron was not counted. What does this mean? I don't know. But let's just take a look at what we have over here.
His family was?
Yes, it seems so, yes. Aaron's family was, his children and descendants were, but Aaron himself was not counted. So it comes to something fascinating. In this week's parasha, summarized, there were three different types of counting. There was the counting for the vast majority of Klal Yisrael, with the exception of Sheva Levi. And then there was a separate counting for Sheva Levi. Sheva Levi was not part of the counting of Klal Yisrael. There was a separate counting. Why? So the Rashi says, because the Sheva Levi is Hashem's army. They are the soldiers of Hashem, the Tzivos Hashem. They were the Lubavitch. They are a special group. They are a special... Yeah, Nechalami, that's right. And therefore, to give kavod to this select group of individuals, these 22,273 individuals, Hashem says, I want for them a separate counting. I don't want them to be part of the counting of the Klal Yisrael. They're different. And then... there's the third group. Only one person made it to this group. Aaron HaKohen, he's not even counted. He is Lamala min HaMispar. In Svira, Parashas Bamidbar is always the Hakdama, usually to the culmination of Sviras HaOmer to Shavuos. It's fascinating to take note that we have the same three concepts in Sviras HaOmer. We have three types of counting. We count the days. That's the days represent the majority. That's like all the fine points, and then we count weeks, right? You count 7 weeks. What is 7 weeks? What is a week? A week is a different type. It's a different group. A Shabbos Kodesh is something which is a different category. The counting of a week is on a higher madrega than the counting of days. A day is a day of chol, it's an individual. How much can an individual do? But a group? A Shavua, a complete cycle of time of Maaseh Bereishis, this is something different. It's a different type of counting. It corresponds to Shevet Levi. The counting of the pratim of the individual days, 1, 2, 3, 4, this corresponds to the counting of Klal Yisrael, an ordinary mundane counting. The counting of the weeks corresponds to the counting of Sheva Levi. And then there is Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, who goes lefnai velefnim into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, place that's lemalem min hazman, lemalem min hanida, mokom Aaron enem min hanida. Aaron is a person that's lemala from anything which you can hold down to. Aaron corresponds to Shavuos. There's one day of the Seder that we don't count. And what's the day? Shavuos. The Torah says, Usfaratim lachem mimocha Shabbos chamishim yom. The Torah tells us to count 50 days. Do we count the 50th day? We don't count it. There's one day of the Svira that's not counted. Why is there one day that's not counted? Because that's Aaron HaKohen. Now what does it mean? It means it's Lamala. Anything that you count is something that's Gashmias. When you count something, you're defining limits. Only in the Olam HaGashmi are there limits. In the Olam HaRuchni, there are no limits. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Aron didn't take up any space. Aron Eina Min Hamida. The Aron is a Makom. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is a place that's Lamayla Min Hazman, Lamayla Min Hamida. Aron HaKohen enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He is Shaykh to spirituality where you can't count, you can't limit to numbers, to something Gashmiistic in this world. In the counting of the Omer in preparation for Sphira, we also go through three different stages of coming close to spirituality. We start with a more mundane approach. Units, every single day is 1, 2, 3, 4. Then we come to a higher madrega, 7. 7 is a unit where we take together a group. That's something that's more spiritual. And then after doing this 7 times, we reach the highest level. We come to a point that's lamala, that's even above and beyond the ability of count, of being included in the count. And that's nothing more than Shavuos. You reach 49, you now come to 50, and the Torah says, count 50 days. This day is not counted. The day is here. The Kedush is infinite. It's here, but it's not something which is counted. Okay, last idea.
Tie it in with your previous idea.
Yeah.
That the invisible, the Vadim that were not used was because you had invisible carriers.
Very good. Okay, very nice. Ahil, that's very nice. You're saying a very nice idea.
It was not
the Mila. It's the Mila Mamina. Very nice. Okay, last idea. The last idea is the Haftorah. The Haftorah is a very Hashem Perek based. The words of the Haftorah seemingly fit very well into the Parsha. It's a perfect tie into the Parsha. The Parsha is all about counting. Hoshea begins. The Hoya Mispar Bnei Yisrael Kichol Hayom Asher Lo Yimad V'lo Yisofer. That the number of Klal Yisrael will be like the sand of the sea, which cannot possibly be counted. It corresponds to the beginning of the Parsha. The beginning of the Parsha, Hashem is counting the testimony. I want you to count Klal Yisrael. 600,000 people, the Levim, I want everyone to be counted. And Hosea says, that was Takachu during the time of Matan Torah, the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. But the time will come when Klal Yisrael will be so numerous, beautiful, follow through. Well, time will come, they'll Klal Yisrael lo yimad v'lo yisafer. Okay. However, this is Perek Beis. If only we understood the Hagdamah, the Perek Beis in Hosea, it would open up for us a whole new understanding of Chumash Bamidbar and the Indian of Pikudim of counting. What is the Hagdamah to the beginning to Perek Beis of Hosea? Perek Aleph. What happened, Perek Aleph? A shocking Perek. Now, to summarize this, there's a Daf Gemara in Psochim on Daf Pei Zayin. Amid Aleph on the bottom, it goes to Amid Beis. There's a whole Daf Gemara on Perek Aleph. And I'll just quote the part I have over here, the Hosea, the Rashi, just to summarize the Yemeni site. Hosea was from the greatest Nevi'im, someone who was even greater than Yeshaya. He was certainly the oldest of the Nevi'im of that point in time, Rashi elaborates. And Hashem said to Hosea, you know, we got a problem here. Klal Yisrael are not doing what they should be doing. They are sinning, they're worshipping idols. So Hosea said, you know what, Hashem, if that's the case, Tamu Zuchus Avos, this is a very critical Gemara. Chazal said that this is the point in time where the Zuchus Avos came to an end. Our Zuchusim expired. Hashem said, listen, Tamu Zuchus Avos, you know what? Exchange Klal Yisrael for a different nation. Shocking. Let me see if I could find the exact words. Hachalifam be'uma acheres. Three words. Hoshea said Hashem, if that's the case, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and they no longer have Zuchus Avos, Tamu Zuchus Avos, no, get another nation. Hachalifam be'uma acheres. Shocking. Hashem was furious. How can you say that about my national exchange then? Hoshea, you know what I want you to do? I want you to marry a zona. I'm going to give you a shidduch. Do I have a shidduch for you? Milas, you never, no one ever gave such a shidduch. A zona. I want you to marry her. He married her. Have children. I want you to have children with her. He had children. Hashem then says to Hoshea, okay, Hoshea, I want you to divorce her. She's not a good shidduch for you. I want you to divorce her. You're a Navi. You're from the greatest of the greatest, the Kedai, Tsugapas, to go on media, newspapers with a Zayna. I want you to divorce her. Hoshea says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I can't. I have children with her. It's not so easy to alimony. I can't afford. It's not so easy. It's not so easy. You know what I mean? It's not so easy to divorce a woman when you have children with her. I can't. No matter how bad it is, I can't divorce her. So Hashem says, and what about me? I, Kaveh Yochel, married Klal Yisrael. I've invested in them everything that there is to you could possibly do. I have with them children and grandchildren. In the Kloch, I have Nachas. I should go now. Hachalifam Bu'uma Acheres. How do you think I feel? How dare you? The whole Perek Aleph, this whole technique of telling him to marry a zona and having children, telling him to divorce him, was all to let Hoshea feel the tsar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels. How dare you say Hachalifa on Buma Acheres? So Hoshea said, You're right. Let me do tshuva. And what was the tshuva for Hachalifa on Buma Acheres? I give them a bracha. The Hoya Mispar B'nei Yisrael Kichol Hayom Asher Lo Yimad V'Lo Yisofer. Their number should be uncountable. So what is the essence? What is the essence? The essence is this pasuk. The pasuk in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar is the response of an ummah. There's no such thing as that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should exchange the ummah, the nation, for another nation. Now, what am I driving at? Chumash Bamidbar begins the Chumash of the nation of Klal Yisrael. Chumash Bereishis, Chumash Shemos, and Chumash Vayikra are chumashim that describe individuals. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, B'shivim Nefesh, Yardu Avasecha Mitzrayim. In Egypt, we first became a nation. We received the Torah. Chumash Bamidbar is now begins the point in Jewish history of Klal Yisrael as an ummah. Everything until now was all the formation of Yechidim, coming together to form a nation. We became a nation in Egypt. We received the Torah. Now the essence of being a nation has solidified. Now when we go forward, we no longer go forward in history as individuals. We go forward as a nation that cannot be exchanged for another nation. The beginning of the Hoshea, this Haftar, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins to count Klal Yisrael in Chumash Bamidbar, it's a different counting. The counting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisrael in Shemos, at the Yitzias Mitzrayim, Sheishmeos, Elef, Gavre. It's always in the Yoch. There were 600,000 Gavre, men. It's not a group, it's a group, but it's a group of individuals. We left Egypt as individuals. We got into the Torah, made us into a nation, and there was an Egel. We didn't fully accept that there were problems. We were always in a gather of individuals until we reached a certain degree of unity. Ki ish echad b'lev echad, where now we became a nation. Okay, all right. This is the essence of what we can extract from the Haftarah. Since the pasuk of the Haftarah in Hoshea Perek Beis is a response, is a tshuva of Hachalifam Be'uma Acheres, the folk focus, the dialogue between Hoshea and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about the nationhood of Klal Yisrael, and it's where Hoshea came to terms.
Yeah.
No, Klal Yisrael is a nation that's here to stay. That's the Haftarah Bamidbar. That sheds light that the whole Chumash Bamidbar, the counting of the beginning of Bamidbar, is a counting of Klal Yisrael not as a group of individuals, but as an Ummah. And as an Ummah, we can accomplish things that we cannot accomplish as individuals. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos.